Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, brought to you by eSchool News. My name is Kevin Hogan. I'm editor at large for eSchool News. I'm glad you found this podcast. Very excited today to have Matt Joseph along to have some discussions about the latest and greatest and what his work is doing during this pandemic. Dr. Joseph is currently the director of curriculum, instruction, and assessment in Leicester Public Schools. Am I pronouncing that right? Okay, and that's in Massachusetts. He has been a school and district leader in many capacities in public education over his 25 years in the field. Experiences such as director of digital learning and innovation at Milford Public Schools in Massachusetts, an elementary school principal in Natick, and in Attleboro, Massachusetts. You've been all over the state, Matt.
You've been
a classroom teacher, district professional development specialist. All these experiences have provided Matt with insights on how to best support teaching and learning. These sorts of experiences has led to national publishing articles and opportunities to speak at multiple state and national events. Matt, you've always were an inspiration in your talks with me when we would be at Tech and Learning Leadership Summits and Tech and Learning Lives, right?
Yeah, it was a blast. I learned a lot and met a lot of great people for sure.
And you are the co-author of Modern Mentoring, Reimagining Teacher Mentorship. So that's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff. I was just waiting, like, wow.
And that's a lot of years. Now, let me ask you, in all of those years and looking about education strategies and integrating technology into education, did a pandemic ever necessarily kind of fall into the context of what you'd prepare for?
No. And when I was vision planning and saying, all right, this is what I want to do in a year, in 3 years, 5 years, a pandemic and learning from home was never one of the steps in that pathway.
It's funny. No one ever seems to have picked up on that, except Dr. Fauci.
I guess he's Fauci and Gates, I think, were ready, right. But that's it.
Right. So I guess we should start off. I'm so sick of talking about it, but obviously it's something that is still with us here and that we're dealing with, although the light seems to be at the end of the tunnel. Talk a little bit about how the pandemic has changed not only your work individually, but where you see it affecting education in general.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to say there's a lot of silver linings because it makes it seem like it was a good thing that it happens. And I want to focus on some of the positive things, like you said. We're tired of talking about it because it is a lot, but there were some things that are coming out of this that are a real benefit to our profession. So I am a public school educator. I have been my whole career. I'm currently a district administrator as the director of curriculum instruction. So I am rooted in the public schools. And one of the things that I have seen coming out of this is the grit and resiliency for teachers has gone up exponentially. Because a lot of times, and as you said, we met at some national events, which was fabulous. I go and I learn some things and meet some great people and get these strategies, come back to my district and say, let's try these. And it's like, oh, well, not right now. Or, oh, it's one more thing. And I'm saying that as an umbrella statement for that, you know, teachers obviously would try some things, but there was always that hesitation. Well, when the world stops and you have to teach from home, we don't have time for this. It's a, please help me. And, you know, I said last year was almost like emergency education, not remote education. It was like, oh crap, we need to get these things done. So learning Jamboard, learning how to use Zoom, learning how to use breakout rooms. It wasn't an option now. It wasn't an extra. So one of the things I've seen with this pandemic and crisis is that teachers' willingness to try things and opening up their repertoire of toolboxes has really opened up. We all became first-year teachers in March at some point last year. So the willingness to try some things went way up. The other thing I think that has come from this is the vulnerability, meaning teachers are on camera. I mean, whatever community you live in at some point, at least for 3 months last year, and anywhere from a few months this year to the entire year, you've been teaching talking to a computer screen. So your vulnerability, your willingness to take a risk, your willingness to turn over the onus of control of learning has had to adapt. And again, I'm not saying this in a I'm glad this happened since, because nobody would sign up for this. Nope. Nobody. Let's be very clear about that. But there are some instructional things that have been happening that have been good that you and I have talked about 5 years ago about using 3D, you know, technology, using, you know, all sorts of different techniques where it was nice to have. Now it became a must have. And the challenge now for leaders and school leaders is to make sure we retain that. Because as you said, we're coming out of it. And here in Massachusetts, all elementary school students had to return on April 5th. In many districts like mine, we all came back on April 5th because it was just a smoother transition. And our big challenge is to still use those technologies even when the kids are in front of you. Google Classroom was not invented March 1st last year. It's been around. Jamboard is not new. It's just new for you using it. As you said, Microsoft Teams or Flipgrid just did not start. These things have been in place. And how do we now maximize this new learning and not say that was great for the pandemic, but now that the kids are in front of me, I'm going to talk at them for 42 minutes. I got them back. Thank goodness. My podium's in my classroom. Here we go. And so the challenge and the positives are the exact same right now. How do we keep this momentum, but also support teachers?
Right. So almost in that same perverse sense, the really great news of how quickly the vaccines came around, right? I mean, in the summertime, they were talking about 2 or 3 year horizons before we
needed. Right.
And so people really seem to be entrenching in the idea, like, this is the way we're going to live for a while. Vaccines arrive. We're in that mix. And now I hear more and more about the new normal or going back to normal, starting with the fall. And it's almost one of these things where I start to think it's like, from the context of what you're talking about, that almost that guilt you feel about finally we're using these